You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
No one in his right mind would look to a place like Nazareth for greatness.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, you know how proud we are of ourselves, how self-satisfied with everything we have, how sure that we are doing all right without your help, how ungracious and even arrogant toward others, especially when we are riding high. Give us the mind of Jesus, your Son, who did not disdain suffering and death to atone for our sins. Help us to see others as they are, and ourselves as we are, redeemed from death to life by your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. It takes all kinds to make a world. Jesus Christ came to suffer with and for that world. He died for that world. He rose from the dead and lives for that world. That has been the one message of this program during 48 seasons of broadcasting, and with it we begin the 49th season of broadcasting the gospel of Jesus Christ all over the world. From the very beginning, Jesus called all kinds of people to follow him and to serve him. Others might not have dared to do that, but Jesus did. A good example would be the man whom John talks about in the first chapter of his gospel. At that moment, it seemed like just another incident that comes and goes. But the incidents surrounding the life of Jesus always seem to make history, having world-shaking significance. In a straightforward way, John tells us what happened. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. It is a beautiful country, even today. There are the Sea of Galilee and the Plain of Jezreel and mountains like Carmel and Tabor. Lovely as it was and is, Galilee was always on the outskirts of Jewish life. The center of things was Jerusalem. That's where Jesus should have been going. But he decided to start activity in Galilee. Jesus was born near Jerusalem. His parents kept him there until the slaughter of the infants by Herod the Great. After fleeing to Egypt to save the child's life, they returned to Galilee, to Nazareth, which both of them knew very well. Jesus came to know it well, too. In a way, I guess you could say that Galilee was his home country. He did not stay in Nazareth. When his public ministry began, he set up his base of operations on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. From there, he went out, preaching and teaching in the villages of Galilee. One day, he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." It was just as simple as that. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Obviously, Andrew, the first disciple Jesus called, had been at work. So had Peter, whom Andrew brought to Jesus. The first thing Philip did was to find Nathanael, probably a friend of his or an acquaintance who was quite a character. Philip was not afraid to approach him, to tell him about his newfound master and friend, Jesus. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can any good come out of Nazareth? What a place to be from." Philip was one of those ordinary people who have made such an extraordinary contribution to the cause of Christ in the history of the world. He seems to have been a rather serious, hard-working man. So serious, in fact, and so given to taking care of details, that the Lord sometimes twitted him about it. Philip the Apostle, however, was not afraid to speak up. He did not always see things in their broad perspective, but he could see what was right in front of his eyes. As many of the unknowns of history, he became an important follower of Jesus. You may not come from an important place, and you may not consider yourself an important person, but that doesn't bother Jesus Christ. In fact, it's a big point in your favor. Jesus sees through all the claptrap with which people like to surround themselves. Nathanael was a different kind of character. You could say that he was the typical local skeptic. He came off as a little bit of a smart aleck, the fellow who knows all the answers or thinks he does. A man described by someone as the first century Don Rickles, whom many of you may recognize as the half-joking, half-serious character putting everybody down. Philip had a great message for Nathanael. He had found the Messiah. He had found the one of whom Moses in the law and the prophets had written, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael snorted immediately. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? A good place to be from? For Nathanael, Nazareth was just a hick town a few miles down the road. It was a small burg up in the hills. Actually, that's what it was. Today, Nazareth is quite a city, but in those days, it was a little village consisting of probably a dozen to 20 families. It did not look like much. Anyone who came from there did not look like much. Big things happened in Jerusalem. No one in his right mind would look to a place like Nazareth for greatness, especially for the long-awaited Messiah promised by God through great men like Moses and the prophets. There's no mention whatsoever in the Old Testament of the town of Nazareth. Nothing in the law and the prophets about this little hamlet. People knew that the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem. That's what the religious leaders told Herod the Great when he asked them where the Messiah would be born. The prophet Micah had said that Bethlehem, which was the least among the cities of Judah, would not be the least when it came to association with the Messiah and the leadership of God. From you, Bethlehem, shall come a ruler who will lead my people Israel. Can any good come out of Nazareth? Asked Nathanael. Philip answered, Come and see. That is exactly what followers of Christ have been telling people down through the centuries. It is what we tell people today. Don't look at us. We are not bragging about ourselves or where we come from. Come and see him. The cause of Christ has been carried forward down through the years, not so much by the big shots who went around proclaiming their own virtues, but by ordinary people who came to see him, and like the ordinary folk of his time, heard him gladly. He called all kinds, including the rich and influential. But they too had to be people who were humble enough to listen and to pay attention, to see him as the Savior of the world, bringing with him the kingdom of God. God does his work in the world for the most part through the local and the commonplace. It's in the local and the commonplace that God usually confronts people. When his son Jesus was born, it was in a lowly and simple stable of an inn. Jesus was at home at a local wedding with commonplace people who were celebrating a great event in their lives. He did not feel out of place at a funeral or at the bedside of a sick child. He was not afraid to touch the untouchables and to reach out to the unreachables. He did not feel at all embarrassed, though he came from little Nazareth. Nathanael came to see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him before anyone else had said a word, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael was surprised. He said to Jesus, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." The veneer people build up around themselves is easily punctured. What you are means a great deal more than where you come from. The fact is that today all we know about Nathanael is that he came from under that fig tree. He also came from knowing everything and putting down everyone to finding out what real life is all about. He found Jesus Christ. Actually, Jesus Christ found him. "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." That little remark of Jesus provides a deep insight into real life. Things happen by the grace of God. People enjoy real life, not because they are so good, but because God is so gracious. That's one of the greatest lessons of life, and also one of the hardest to learn. People don't like to be told that they can't make it on their own. Real life is a gift from God from beginning to end. It has to be received as a gift and used with the gratitude a gift should command. Real life is not for the proud. As the apostles of Christ said repeatedly, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. A real understanding of your humanity calls for humility. Real humility is ennobled by God Himself with the grace of sight, which sees what otherwise could not be seen. The Bible calls that sight faith. Jesus kept telling people, "This is the will of God, that you believe in Him whom God has sent." He also said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall see God." Nathanael's arrogance and cynicism were met head-on with understanding, forgiveness, and a call to discipleship. In spite of Nathanael's reputation and propensity for the put-down, Jesus of Nazareth drew this man into his service. Under other circumstances and at another time, the same thing might have come about in a different way. But we know how it came about under these circumstances at this time, through a friend on the scene, Philip. Philip might have listened to Nathanael's cryptic comment about anything good coming out of Nazareth, and he could have responded by arguing with him, going off in a huff. But Philip, good friend that he was, simply and patiently said, "Come and see. Don't take my word for it. Come and see for yourself." By and large, that has been the work of the church down through the ages. It's certainly the mission of this broadcast for 48 years, now going on 50, of actual broadcasting. Ordinary people have brought the good news of Jesus Christ to other people like themselves. Some of them even had the courage to go to people who were not like themselves. To people with such courage, Christ Himself said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." The fullness of Christ is received and carried forward by people who do not spend their time standing on the sidelines, taking potshots at Christ or the faith, at the church or its members, and like modern-day Nathanaels concluding, "Nothing good can come out of Nazareth." Ignorance, arrogance, misinformation all conspire to generate rejection of the good news that God has given to the world in Jesus Christ. They keep people from the grace of forgiveness that comes with faith in Jesus Christ, and from the glory of life, which turns out to be real life through Jesus Christ. There's something of the cross and also of the resurrection in Jesus' reply to Nathanael. He was willing to take what the world has to give. Through it all shines the glory of God Himself. The hostility and arrogance of one man is matched by the welcome and warmth of another, Jesus. God Himself stretched out the arms of His well-beloved Son to welcome the world into His own heart. There He died for all of the arrogance and self-confidence of the world, to bring people to God. There He atoned for the sins of people, that they might be drawn by His cross to see God as He is, smiling in forgiveness upon them. This is not the way the world has viewed the cross of Christ, either then or now. turned off by the cross of Christ, resenting the very idea that anyone needs to atone for their sins. People still honor Christ with left-handed compliments. They miss the whole point of his death for the world because of its rebellion against God. Don't try to make Jesus over, my friend, into someone other than he really is. He's the Son of God and the Savior of the world. His resurrection from the dead makes that point solidly and powerfully as God can make it in this world of ours. The whole apostolic witness to Jesus Christ is dedicated to making God's point in the world. Many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these have been written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing, you might have life in his name. Nathanael got that point. Rabbi, he said, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered him, because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree. Do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. Then Jesus said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you. You will see the heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That day is still coming for all who refuse to see the point. The point is plainly and simply Jesus, God's point in the world. He rides the point position, the beginner and the ender of faith, who for the joy set before him endured a cross, forgetting about the shame. And now he sits at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Only 60 generations have passed by since the day Jesus spoke to Nathanael. It isn't such a long time. And you don't have such a long time either. You brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you will not carry anything out. Please permit me to say to you, now is the time. I say it to myself, and I say it to you. Now is the time when Jesus calls you from under your fig tree, whatever that is, to the wealth and warmth of his being, by his dying and by his living forever as the Lord of all. Now is the time to receive by faith in Jesus the gift of divine forgiveness, of real life that you may have been seeking but never have found. This is the word of God. It comes from God himself, which is in his Son, Jesus Christ. What is faith in Jesus? Is what you have and what you say from the heart by the power of God himself, as Nathanael did. You are the Son of God. You are the King promised to Israel. You are the Savior of the world. You are my Savior, too. Jesus went to his cross, carrying that sign around his neck that eventually was placed at the top of his cross. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. That sign usually described a condemned man and his crime against humanity. In the greatest turnaround of history, Jesus of Nazareth is a declaration of the greatest gift of God to humanity in all of history. Come and see, my friend. Come and see him. Believe and have life, real life, with faith in Jesus. The grace and glory of God are in this man from Nazareth, a good place to be from. Take your stand with him. What a good place to be from. Catching a glimpse of the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What a good place to be from. Amen.